God, I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to open ourselves up to your agenda. And I pray that is what happens, that your agenda gets fed into us and we receive it and make changes to our life and enjoy the peace that you offer. And so I'm praying that my words would actually be in alignment with your agenda and that you would just give us insights that we have not had so that our life can be healthier. And I pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know if I've ever said it this clearly or not, but I have an agenda. I have an agenda every time I'm here on stage to get you to understand who God is, the way I think God is, to get you to see Jesus as the very Son of God, and to get you to receive his words in your life and actually do something about it. And I will do anything to get this agenda across. I want you to understand who I am so there's some credibility. I want you to feel like I'm not too unlike you so it doesn't seem it's unattainable. I want to be myself so you can be yourself. And what I do is so often measured and calculated for the agenda of getting you to God. I don't know if it's ever been said that clearly to you or not, but that's an agenda I have. In fact, that's an agenda Crossroads has. And every single organization, every single person in your life has an agenda. It cracks me up when people go, gosh, you know, the organization has such an agenda. What's this agenda? What's their agenda? Every single living thing has an agenda. Algae has an agenda. Everything has an agenda. There is absolutely nothing that does not have an agenda. The question is whether or not it's an agenda that is healthy, whether or not it's an agenda that's based on love, is an agenda that it's for my personal betterment or for their betterment that means that I lose. What the question is, how valuable is it? In the book of Philippians in the Bible, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it puts it this way. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let these agendas sink into you. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, my agenda, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Every single person I know wants peace. It says there is a God of peace. And the way we receive his peace is by being open to his agenda, which comes in forms that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellence. In this series, we're trying to become aware of the agendas that are being force-fed to us, the things that are in our culture that are constantly being jammed down our throat, and to give us the lenses through which to view whether or not this is something I agree with and whether or not I want this to take root in my life, and will this thing actually have peace on me? One of the early agendas that was forced on me is one of my mom and dad actually used the television to babysit me. Yes, they did. They used the television to babysit me. Can you actually believe that? Yes. People said, man, do you use the television to babysit your kids? Absolutely, I did. No question about it. So you have kids. Don't judge me. Yes, kids, stick your face in front of there and chew on some sugar and just leave me alone. And I absolutely was babysat by television. My two babysitters that were force-fed on me were Sesame Street and Electric Company. The Electric Company. Who's old enough to remember the Electric Company? Yeah. Morgan Freeman wearing a full denim suit. God bless America. That's what our country was founded on. Yes, that's where he had his start. And there was an agenda that was forced on me. The agenda was 2 + 2 = 4. That was the agenda. It actually sunk into me and influenced me. The agenda was modeling a multicultural society. That surely we have women and men and young and old and white and black and purple. That was the agenda, and it was forced on me, and it was a healthy agenda. And it's no different than today. Things I watch, there's a constant agenda that's put on top of me. Now, one of the things that I get all the time is a certain question. Well, I'll ask you a question before I tell you this. Raise your hand if you are a person in here that's actually heard a person by the name of Brian Wells teach. If you've actually heard a person named Brian Wells teach, I don't ask you to hoot, but that's okay if you want to. If you have never heard a person by the name of Brian Wells speak, raise your hand. If you've never heard a person, yeah, why are you hooting for? Am I going to... And that's about what I thought. Brian Wells, about 2.5 years or so ago, left staff at Crossroads. He used to teach one out of every 4 weekends. And as you can notice, since he's left, Crossroads has doubled. He was the thing that was actually holding us back. Yeah. No, he is. I get regular questions. What's Brian Wells doing? And I can't answer those questions because of a lot of confidential stuff. And actually, I'm going to let him answer those questions today because what he's doing with his life actually fits hand in glove with the Force Feed series. So please welcome my friend Brian Wells back up on the stage here at Crossroads. Oh my goodness. That hugging thing was uncomfortable for you. Yeah, still, you didn't really like the hugging.
I don't mind the hug. It's when people inhale when they hug you.
Yeah.
That's they're getting something out of the hug God did not intend.
That's what I would say. Yeah, that is true.
But speaking of agendas, I've been traveling a lot, so I haven't actually seen you that much, even though we live next door to each other. I haven't seen you that much. And I'm noticing the hair has a growing agenda here. You know, did you see the Gordon Gekko thing that's starting to happen in the back?
I haven't done it this long since high school, so I'm doing that. Having to use the gel to carry over. There we go. That was back at the beginning of Crossroads. You can see the agenda of my cell phone on my right hip. That was cutting edge technology back in 1996. Look at that sucker. Man, of course, you were short back then as well, if you notice that.
5'9½", average height for a man in the U.S. All right, you clear.
So, anything else you want to get out, before we get...
While we're at it, sure, let's just keep going then. Yeah, next-door neighbors. So we've been next-door neighbors for what? Well, we've been neighbors for
15, about 10 years.
Known each other
time. 13 years, next-door neighbors for six or seven.
Yeah. And being neighbors with Brian is fascinating. It has had its benefits sometime, though. The one that you always love for me to remind you of was a while back. This was actually a long time ago, and we had a small baby at the time. I think John was just a baby. Grace wasn't here yet. And I got really sick. I got intensely sick. I was so sick, I was doubled up on the floor in my living room in pain, having dehydrated and cramps and starting to have, kind of convulsions. And it was just really, really intense. And so we had a little baby at the time. So Nancy calls Brian and says, "You got to take Brian to the hospital. Somebody's got to take him to the hospital." So you came by, great, loaded me in the car, took me to the hospital. We get up to Jewish Kenwood. They take me in the first thing they do, because they see I'm so dehydrated, they put an IV in me. Hook me up to that, and I'm almost like half comatose at the time, and the nurse leaves because they're really busy. She leaves to do other things, and Brian's in there with me, thank goodness, and the IV machine starts beeping. It's like, beep, 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 beep. It's going off. Something's wrong here, and I look over, kind of my one half open eye, and I'm like, "Oh, but Brian's here. Good. He'll take care of it. That's great. I feel a little better here. Not going to die. Not on his watch. Not on his watch." So Brian jumps up. Awesome. He's going to go get a nurse, No, Brian jumps up. It's totally true. Brian jumps up. He walks around the corner of my bed, and he starts flipping switches on the IV machine. It's completely true. Starts flipping switches until the darn beeping stops, The beeping stops. He sits down again with this really pleased look on his face like, "Yeah, that's a leader, huh? Took care of it. Took care of it." Nurse comes running in, starts yelling at me stuff about, air bubbles in the IV hose and things like that. And I think it was that Monday we decided to take Brian off any hospital visitation after that. So
as you know, as Brian and I go back a long time, the first time we ever physically met was when he made a recruiting call on me, recruiting/interviewing call on me in Pittsburgh. Got to interact with him. Brian was one of the original people that had the vision and desire to start a church for their friends that had given up on church, but not necessarily on God. Was part of the core Crossroads. Recruited me here, hired me with some other folks as a PNG, and Crossroads started taking off. Procter & Gamble career for how long?
9 years.
Nine years. He left, and inside of the first year, Crossroads started, came on staff at Crossroads and did virtually anything. You name it. You were pastor of it. Yeah. Whatever it was that needed it done, you got it done.
Yeah, I called myself utility infielder. Yeah.
And then something started to happen differently inside of you. You just tell a story. I'm sorry. Tell a story of what happened.
Yeah, sure. So that goes back now. I don't know. We'll go back 6 or 7 years ago now. One summer when I went away to do some study, one of the books that I read was a book called Good News About Injustice by a guy by the name of Gary Haugen, who a lot of you have kind of come to know. He's come here to Crossroads and spoken. He's become a dear friend of ours. But Gary was a lawyer working for the Justice Department in Washington, D.C., and on the tail end of the whole Rwanda massacre, they put him on loan to the United Nations as the chief genocide investigator for Rwanda. And Gary came back from that experience, you know, wading through the, you know, 700,000 or so bodies over there. He came back profoundly bothered by the question of he felt like God's people could have done a better job helping prevent that tragedy over there. And it drove him, Gary's a follower of Christ, it drove him into the Bible and taking a look at the trail throughout the Bible that God is a God of justice and that he wants justice here on this earth and the very explicit commands that we have, if we take the Bible seriously, to come to the aid of the widow, to come to the aid of protection of the orphan, to come to the aid of the powerless and bring justice to the powerless. And so he left the Justice Department and he started this organization called International Justice Mission to try to deal with some of these things. And that book was basically a summation of walking through the Bible and God's call to justice for us to be his hands and feet in bringing justice to the powerless around the world. And then also comparing it with some of the awful things that were going on in the world, some of the awful injustice, including a lot of issues of human trafficking, forced prostitution, child exploitation, things like that. I came back from reading that, it rocked my world. It rocked my world. Remember, we sat down and talked when I came back with you and a few others here from Crossroads, and you guys, and this is one of the benefits of being in community, you know, our lives are so transient nowadays that very rarely do we get in the same spot for any length of time to really do life in a real way with people. And one of the values of community was, for me, I had people around me like you and others here who did nothing but pour fuel on that fire and say, if you're feeling this, you need to do something about this. And I ended up going out in D.C., met with them, and I came back with kind of some plans that we put in place. And what grew out of that then was the justice ministry here at Crossroads, the work that we have going on in South Asia, the work we have going on in India,
there was an agenda that was poured into you from a book that actually took root. It was a good, noble, honorable agenda. And anytime you hear about some of the stuff we're doing, justice work, and our plans in the future, we're going to start hearing more of those. It all came down to this guy right here, receiving an agenda that was honorable, commendable, and trustworthy, and then God's built on that over the last several years.
Yeah, and obviously a lot of other people have come in and kind of taken that to new places. So we started that and the stuff in Mumbai, rescuing girls from prostitution, things like that. So that's kind of where that grew out of. But then it took an interesting twist for me because I started to wrestle with what really is the best and highest calling for me to kind of make a difference in some of these things. And the first time I started wrestling, because I was thinking about, well, maybe I should go move to India or maybe I should go move to D.C., work on, you know, some of these things. And you and I talked about that a lot. And I wasn't feeling that was kind of exactly uniquely who I was, where I could make the best contribution. So I was wrestling with that, and then something interesting happened. The first kind of point on this curve was I was in D.C. and having lunch with a friend of mine that works on the real cutting edge of these things, particularly domestically here in the U.S. with child trafficking and some issues like that. And it was shortly after the Academy Awards. And my friend that works on kind of the cutting edge of this kind of stuff, she was so upset, and I think it was a movie, I think it was called Hustle and Flow that year, but the song that had won Best Song, Best Original Song at the Academy Awards that year was a song called It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. It's hard out here for a pimp. And she was looking at me, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, I can't believe that the highest honor we have artistically in this country, we just gave the Academy Award to It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp. Let me tell you what a pimp does. Let me tell you what a pimp does to recruit little girls. Let me tell you what they do to initiate their customers. Let me tell you what they do to discipline these people. And she's going on and on. It's hard out here for a pimp. We're giving awards at the top in entertainment for that. And I remember, you know, just kind of being kind of really kind of pushed back by that and thinking, first of all, I'm never one that kind of lays everything at the foot of the media. You know, I believe that if a kid acts out violently at school or something, you know, in some awful way, he probably had more going wrong in his life than he played the wrong video game. But I had to start to wrestle with, yes, these things do make a difference. You know, these things do play a role in this. And, you know, I started to think back then as I was processing through this, you know, my 9 years at Procter, and if I had a good piece of advertising, what did we do? We heavied up. We heavied up where we could on it, and we influenced behavior more. I mean, that's the whole thing behind advertising. I mean, there's, depending on who's counting, you know, every year in the U.S., somewhere between $20 and $40 billion. $20 to $40 billion is spent on marketing everywhere in the U.S. You know, folks, that's not dumb money. That's not dumb money. There's a lot of very smart, very driven, hardworking people who are spending that money, and they wouldn't spend a penny of it that they didn't feel like they needed to. They spend it not always for, this is not for like necessarily bad motives. They spend it because it influences behavior.
So are you saying that you left Crossroads and went and are trying to refound the moral majority? I don't know if you realize, but they went out of business. There's no jobs yes, there left any longer. What are you saying? What are you doing right now? What's the point?
Yeah.
You're coming off like another angry white man. We don't need any more angry white men around here. We just don't. Got enough of those making money in Hollywood. Don't need any more right now.
You want me to answer those in order or just kind of take the... No, and you know what? And I'm not a boycotter. I'm not a boycotter. You know, I believe in the free market. I believe if you don't like something that's on television, change the channel. You know, if you don't like, you know, that video game, you know, don't buy it. I'm not a boycotter, but I'm just really, really inspired by, and it's been attributed to Michelangelo. I don't know if he really said it or not, but criticize by creating. You know, if you don't like something, do something better. You know, if you don't like something, make something better. And so what you know, we'll talk about it a little bit more, but where I've been these last 2.5 years since I left Crossroads was with a group of other folks, including some other folks here at Crossroads, started a media company to try to make a difference. And we decided that actually what we wanted to focus on was network television, that, you know, kind of a need for great storytelling, you know, in this way is network television.
So you are a Hollywood... executive producer. That's what we have. A Hollywood executive producer. We're going to show a little piece of your work in a moment. And why are you doing that? Why are you deciding to create content?
Yeah, well, there's a group of us. And I say, you know, kind of one other kind of piece on this trend was as I was processing through my friend's comments in D.C. that day, it was shortly after that I ended up back in Mumbai. And one of the projects that we had going on over there, while I was there, our group conducted a raid and rescued 14 girls from this brothel. And after the fact, found out that 12, yeah. And there's a ton more where that came from, a ton more for what's going on over there. And afterwards, found out that 12 of those girls were underage. 12 of those girls were underage. And I remember coming back to my hotel room that night. And outside of my hotel room door in the hallway, was the Mumbai Times waiting for me. And I remember picking up the Mumbai Times and front page, above the fold, a color photo and a story about Paris Hilton. Now, this is not busting on Paris Hilton. That's not what this is about. What it was about was kind of looking at it and realizing the incredible leadership influence on our culture that the American entertainment industry has. And starting to wrestle with that, and for me, just as a guy who wants great entertainment, but also for me as a dad, becoming increasingly concerned by the increasing cocktail of sex and violence that's being sold to all of us in the name of entertainment.
And you think it actually affects us?
I know that, again, $20 to $40 billion says that it affects us. That's not dumb money. If the 30-second spots that are on these shows influence behavior, do you think the remaining 22 or 44 minutes of content doesn't influence behavior? Absolutely. Stories are what creates culture. You know, stories are what motivate people over time. Stories are what change hearts. It's the storytellers that really influence hearts. And so we started to do a little bit of research, some friends of mine and I. And one of the things we found was that, of course, everybody in the U.S., everybody has this one yardstick that they use to evaluate entertainment. You know, whether it's movies, whether it's television shows, whether it's video games. And I would call that yardstick the great yardstick. And what they're asking, is this great entertainment? You know, is it great writing? Is it great production values? You know, is it a drama? If it's a drama, do I really care about these people? If it's a comedy, does the humor flow from what I know about these characters? Or is it just somebody slipping on a rug? You know, is it a thriller? Does it keep me on the edge of my seats? You know, see, just is it great entertainment? And we all have that yardstick. But what we found is there's a really large chunk of the population that has a second yardstick they use as well. And that second yardstick, if the first one I'd call the great yardstick, the second one I would call the good yardstick. And what they ask is, does that piece of entertainment achieve its greatness by preying on what's worst in the human condition? Or does it achieve its greatness maybe by calling out what's best in us? Or would have parents say in this research, does that piece of entertainment achieve its greatness in a way that now makes my job harder as a parent? Or does it achieve its greatness maybe in a way that makes my job easier? Or we have, it was interesting, we had a lot of school teachers in this research. Teachers say, you know, point to, like, for instance, that, you know, kids are, you know, kids have a lot of entertainment options. We all do today, you know, internet, video games, etc. But TV is still king. The average kid is watching 4 hours plus of television a day. And teachers would talk about how so much of that is reality programming, and kids come into their classrooms only having these set models of conflict resolution modeled for them. And so when they encounter a disagreement in the classroom or they have a disagreement with somebody on the playground, their only models are from reality television, which tells them if you have conflict, you either blow up or you storm away. And so they said, here we have these kids come in with no conflict resolution skills, and it makes our job harder as teachers. So the bottom line, though, in this that we found for a huge chunk of people in the U.S., they feel that while there are exceptions, for the most part in the last 5 to 10 years, it's become that they constantly are faced with a choice between the great and the good, that they can't have both at the same time. That, as a matter of fact, it's on a continuum. The more they get of one, the less they have of the other. So if it's great, cutting-edge storytelling, great production values, all that, it's more likely just selling this culture of murder and sex. But on the other end, if it's kind of healthy for human consumption stories, it's most likely boring, it's cliche, it's cheesy, it's poorly written, or it's some kind of thinly veiled religious bait and switch. And so we just started to ask the question, whatever happened to the great good? Whatever happened to great good entertainment? And we decided we wanted to focus on network television because we felt like that was the biggest place we could make an influence to turn the dial and put more great good stuff out there. Not boycotters, nothing that. Let the free market play out. Let people choose. There just needs to be more great good choices out there.
So, yeah, you have... You have 10 projects in the pipeline. We're going to talk about one or show a clip of one in a moment. But talk about the story of your music director and how Hollywood insiders are reacting to this.
Yeah, you know, one of the other things for me, one of the things that really disturbs me is this. Every year it seems like the culture in the U.S., at least from the media, gets to be more and more this thing of polarizing people, of dividing people. And so they love to talk about, well, a liberal is this kind of person and a conservative is this kind of person, or a Republican is this kind of Democrat, or somebody who lives in the Midwest is this kind of person, and if they live in LA or they live in New York, they're, you know, another kind of person, or certainly if they are Hollywood, oh my goodness. And one of the incredible things has been to find some awesome, committed, very talented people who are in wonderful, influential places in Hollywood who have a heart for this kind of thing. Some of them believe the same kinds of things we believe in this room, and a bunch of them don't, but yet have this heart for great good entertainment, and are working hard to try to do something about it. But no, what you mentioned here was interesting because through a mutual friend, We got hooked up with somebody who also kind of their heart beats for this kind of great good entertainment and has a heart for kind of doing something about it. And we were thinking he might be able to play a role in the music of what we do. Maybe if we're going to be creating, this content, maybe he could oversee kind of the music vibe of it and the composing, you know, kind of all that. And so connected us with is Randy Jackson. So got together with Randy.
Yo.
I don't know, man. I don't know. B, what about you? Who's an American Idol fan? Come on, I admit I've been an American Idol guy for a long time. You actually got to be with Randy Jackson live and in person. Let me touch you. Wow, very cool.
Yeah, you got any more, or is that...
Maybe.
Is that
I haven't even started yet.
Right. Yeah. Awesome, talented dude. Just awesome dude, great heart. So we got together with him and we're explaining, you know, kind of what we want to be about. And it was interesting because you could just see kind of his eyes light up. And I remember we were explaining to him and said, you know what we're not talking about when we talk about entertainment here, we're not talking about creating fat-free ice cream. Nobody likes fat-free ice cream. Nobody likes fat-free ice cream. What we want to create is we want to create awesome ice cream that later you find out is fat-free. That's what we want to create. And you just see his kind of eyes light up, and it's kind of like, dude. And I got the fist bump. I got a dude. And so...
Did he blow it up? Did he go like...
He hasn't blown it up. I think, you know...
He did that whole thing?
He hasn't blown it up. Tom, who works with us, I think Randy's blown it up for him before, but I haven't got it. I've not got it blown up yet. But, you know, it's interesting on that because, he totally connected with what we're doing. Later in another meeting, there's another guy, a really talented producer out in Hollywood, been doing great stuff for years, who's working with us, who's worked on first couple projects with me. He's valuable in incredible ways, but one of the ways he's valuable on these projects is he's the only person who's less cool than me on these projects. So I at least have one person who's even kind of more to the nerd scale, you know, kind of than me. And so we're at the one of our first meetings with him where we're meeting with Randy about stuff, and Randy goes to give him the fist bump. And he goes and he thinks he's doing paper, rock, scissors, and he kind of throws stuff. What? And I think he threw scissors too, which I'm like, if you thought he was doing rock, you should have done paper, you know, at least. But Randy's, you know. But yeah, so it's been cool because Randy came on board as our music supervisor. He oversees all our music, the music production, you know, kind of everything, and is incredibly gifted, and his heart is totally in this, and there's more people like him.
Well, I have an agenda, if you haven't noticed. This is a very unusual weekend. I normally have all kinds of Bible verses I'm peppering you with and all kinds of stuff, and that's going to be coming in the series. But I wanted to start this whole series off with an example of how this plays out in real life. And also, I want to promote something that's happening this Friday. I just want you to be aware of the first project that's come to fruition and give you a sneak peek. It's going to be coming around on Friday.
I would just say we've... this is not, we're not talking about religious content here. You know, people create
no Bible verses. Content,
no Bible verses.
How about a cross?
No cross. No, not that I know of, unless somebody kind of hid one in there. No, we're not talking about religious content. If people want to do religious content, that's great. You know, more power to them. This is something that are great stories that move the hearts of all of us, whether you're Christian, you're Muslim, you're Hindu, you know, you're an atheist, whatever. These are just great stories that kind of move our heart. It's just mass entertainment is what it is. It's just mass entertainment. And there are companies that have incredible heart for this as well, and it makes great business sense. So we've got some significant amount of traction on this, and we have two of the largest advertisers in the world, Walmart and Procter & Gamble, who've kind of stepped up behind this. So, yeah.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
I remember you did some market research for this. You know, you could take the boy out of Procter, but you can't take the Procter out of the boy. He came over to the house with Lib, and you had a rough synopsis, and you said, hey, here's the basic movie, and you told her what it was. Right? Now, based on what I've told you, does this actress look like who you had envisioned? Does this one? You started laying out different actresses, and I think I remember that one picture of the woman who's in that. Just talk about how you've gone about doing this. And by the way, how many of these do you have in agreement? Can we say that or not?
What do you mean? Oh, how many projects? Well, there's four immediately on the plate right now,
NBC
and there's more kind of backed up
four.
Behind that. Well, we're definitely doing the first two with NBC. Okay. We'll probably.
Hey, this is nobody from nowhere. This is a little guy from Cincinnati. That's all this is. I mean, are you serious? Come on. As we go further, I mean, what I'm so inspired by this is Brian is a life who just said, I just want to be devoted to God wherever He takes me. Takes me to college, great. Takes me, well, he wasn't thinking about God so much in college. Procter & Gamble.
That's a whole nother.
Go to Procter & Gamble. Maybe I'll go, help this thing called Crossroads. Maybe I'll go start this movie thing. It's just a normal guy who just has a heart devoted to God. Whenever he sees something is lovely, ever he sees something commendable, he trends in that direction. And the people who are around him and with him in Crossroads do as well. So just talk more about how you're doing this, some of the method of your madness.
Yeah.
Because all of us in here, you can be used by God. You might never actually be on stage or ever have a movie, but you can be used by God in powerful and profound ways. You can change the world.
Yeah, well, we've just, like the thing I did with Lib, that was way back, that was this, quick and rough kind of stuff we were doing at the beginning, but the basic philosophy of that, then we played out to, we're constantly going back and we're calibrating these ideas. Are these the kind of stories that move people's hearts, at every place along the way? So my role in that has been, kind of developing the creative, finding writers who have a heart for great, good stories, who are really talented, have heart, and then nurturing that along all the way through script and casting and, kind of getting it done, along with a ton of other people, including some really cool leaders, that also happen to be part of Crossroads here.
You're doing some revolutionary things, too, that I know has been unprecedented in the entertainment industry. Just talk about a couple things, like how your contracts operate, and just anything that has gotten pushed back and is different.
Yeah,
I know some you can't, but give us a...
Yeah, I guess kind of one example would be, and we don't always have the luxury of doing this, but we try wherever possible. First of all, we're trying to create great entertainment here, in a way that the process is honoring as well, which is really, really kind of tough, and we'll talk a little bit more about the tensions in that in a minute. But one of the things that we had a chance to do with one of our early properties we were developing, should it go to series, is that there is a person involved in this, one of the cast members, who's a very active, at the stage in their life where they're a very active parent right now, and we worked into their contract so that a certain number of days a week, they can leave the set and go home for a couple hours to have dinner with their family and then come back. And that was just kind of like this thing that, just kind of rocked people's world of why would you possibly, you don't do that, And we are not always going to have the luxury for doing that, but where possible we want to do this because we're trying to work with people from a place of love and integrity.
So I just want to serve it up to you. What do you want to tell us? Go ahead. You've really built into and blessed all of us, whether or not we realize it or not. What can we do for you? What would you like to just make us aware of?
Well, I would say, I have an agenda. I definitely have an agenda here, and it's three things. Three things in my agenda. The first one is take very seriously the entertainment that you're drinking every day. Take very seriously. Certainly if you're a parent, obviously, what kind of people are you trying to grow up in your kids? Well, stories will influence them almost more than anything else. Take that seriously. But also forget whether you're a parent or not. Just as a human being, understand that $20 to $40 billion is not dumb money. Why is it being spent? Not necessarily for bad reasons, but the reason is because entertainment changes behavior. It does. So what kind of stories are you drinking every day in your life? And how is it affecting you from the music that you listen to, from the movies that you watch, the television, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not here to tell you what those choices are. That's not my deal. The thing is, just be very proactive and think about the stories that you're exposing yourself to. And because over time, stories do influence us, and every piece of entertainment, every story that you're exposed to is either leading you a little bit closer to the picture of your life that God has for you, or it's leading you a little bit away. And so are you constantly feeding on stories that are about life is about vengeance? Or are you feeding on stories that life is about forgiveness? Are you feeding on stories that life is about the really good things come easy? Or are you feeding on stories that perseverance and hard work, really what matters? Are you feeding on stories that says when you do go through tough times, you run away from your family? Or are you feeding on stories that say in tough times, that's when families are supposed to run to each other? Just be very conscious of the kind of stories that you're opening yourself up to be taught by. Secondly, And this is the shameless plug, just shameless plug. This Friday night, April 16th. This Friday night, April 16th, 8 o'clock on NBC, Secrets of the Mountain. And here's the deal with this. This is vote with your remote time. This is a time where there's a lot of people in the entertainment industry and a lot of people in business around the world who are watching Friday night, April 16th to see, do people respond to these kind of stories or not? Is there a market for this or not? And if this thing does good numbers, then we go to series. Then we go to series. So it's really important. Please tell everybody you can, Friday night, April 16th, 8 o'clock on NBC, Secrets of the Mountain. It really does matter. And then the last thing, the last part of my agenda would be, and I don't say this at the end because I take it lightly, not at all. I mean this very, very strongly, is pray. Please, please be praying for this on a couple levels. One, be praying for those of us that are creating this. It has been about 2.5 years now, and I'm not speaking metaphorically when I say 2.5 years of 80 hours a week, every week, nonstop.
We live next door. You may as well live in Indiana. I mean, it's true. You've been on a crazy schedule.
The pressure is relentless, and every single thing we do is pushing water uphill. It's been the most difficult thing, me and the other guys, folks that are involved in this, most difficult thing we've ever done in our lives. And we are committed. A lot of us have young families. We're committed that we're not going to create great entertainment on the backs of our families. But you know what? In varying degrees, we're not always doing a great job of that. And I haven't found the answer yet, and none of us have. And there's a real struggle for us of this goal that we really feel like God's placed in our heart for doing this, and at the same time being there for our own families. It's a struggle, and we haven't cracked that nut yet. So please be praying for us on that and everybody that's involved in this. And then also be praying for everybody who's involved in this. We really try, and sometimes we're more successful as we really try that it's not just about the content that's ending up on the screen, but that it's about the way we're creating the content. We want to be dealing with people from a place of love and integrity. And that's a pretty revolutionary business model in this industry, and it makes things a lot harder sometimes. But just be praying that we would always be getting better and better in everybody that we deal with coming from a place of love and integrity in this.
Mm. Well, why don't we pray for you and that right now, all right?
God, I'm thankful for this man and the influence that he's been on my life, my family's life. I'm thankful that he's given me great grace for 14 years. I'm thankful that he and others are modeling for us that just taking steps of faithfulness leads to a life of true adventure. And we are just thankful, whether we've known him or not, that he has positively impacted our lives if we have anything in common with what you're doing at Crossroads. And so pray that what happens on Friday night would go well, not because this is a business model that needs to succeed, but because there's average people in the United States that just need a different option. So thank you for him, and thank you for this time. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, let's thank Brian. Let's thank him, huh?
All right, just go ahead and stay standing. Stay standing, and let's consider this right now. Let's go back and evaluate Philippians 4, what we said before, and let's look at it with fresh eyes. It says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." We want to quicken our mind to think about the things that are being force-fed to us, and hopefully more of us will self-select anything that's true, honorable, just, pure, commendable.